I guess this is what I was listening to.
Nice. Pretty good song.
Yeah, I didn't mean to press that, but I guess this is what I was listening to.
Kind of works as the intro.
Yeah, it's nice.
You're looking good, man.
Oh, yeah.
You got a tan?
Yeah, big tan me.
Have you been going to, like, tanning or something?
Let's play the intro and I'll tell you all about it.
Sounding better lately. It's just a bit louder. I like it.
I got
it.
New converters, I think.
Yeah. Like hear the drums more now. That like
yeah. I think Zoom's upped its game.
Dip it up, pop pop band. It's cool.
Nice one.
Little side stick.
The bass really gets me every time. It's really really good.
Bass and drums working together. I like that. Is that like a little like? It's almost like he does that fill on like a conga drum he's got next to the kit. Listen to the fill.
They might have a percussionist.
Yeah, it's maybe it's just a conga fill. I think it's a tom-tom, but there's just loads of reverb on it and it's tuned really high.
I mean, I know that if you have a song that you're trying to... If you have a song that you like... deliberately designed to try and go to number one.
Yeah.
You're not going to leave anything out.
No.
You know?
No.
You're going to go like, yeah, I want to, let's do the conga again. Get a mic in the chamber.
Get it all in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Do it all. Well, I remember there's a good story about Mark Bolan and T-Rex that...
Oh, I've heard of
them. They were doing, Bang a Gong, Get It On.
It's a good song.
Yeah, and the producer was like, we should put some strings on this. Like a string.
Tony Visconti.
Did he produce it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And Mark Bolan was like, no fucking way. This is a rock and roll song. We're not putting strings on it. And Visconti was like, you know, all your other hits have strings on them.
Yeah.
And he was like, put the strings on.
Tony Visconti is
like, why the hell not?
He's an interesting guy, Tony Visconti, because he... is really good at strings. Like he was like a classical arranger. Like he knew how to do that. I don't know where it was, but maybe it was a podcast or maybe I listened to a long interview with him about his trajectory and his story and how he got to be who he was. It's so fascinating. Like,
yeah,
he was just, I'll do a quick version of it because I can't remember it, but I'm going to re-listen or re-find whatever it was. Like he was working in the States. He's obviously American. But ended up like working on some stuff with maybe like a really famous producer. And I can't remember, I'm going to butcher this story. But basically, this guy was like, you know, you could come over to London and I could probably get you some work with artists that I can't work with. You know, like I've got so much work.
Yeah.
And he just was like, he was married at the time. I think he had a kid even. And he didn't have much money. He was like, this is my opportunity. So he just was like, I'm going to London. Took his family to London. And part of him being a producer, so he would get given like the stuff that this bigger producer couldn't have time to do.
Sure.
And he learned so much from how this guy worked as a producer. And then this guy was like, also, you need to go out and find bands. Like that's part of being a producer. You need to go out into London and find bands, find the next big sound. Yeah. So he kind of discovered to some extent T-Rex, like and Bowie, like
Bowie
that
as well.
Stuff, you know, his like... No, I don't know if I wouldn't say discover's not the right word, but he was like, he did go to like a T-Rex show and was like, okay, this is fucking weird.
He's kind of a glam pioneer.
Yeah, and there's loads of records there as well. But yeah, he was like one thing that he could do. I think, in fact, the reason he even got to meet this producer was because he got brought in to do a string set. He could do strings. So then that was his kind of like, I got this. So he was putting on everything, you know?
He had the technical know-how.
He knew how to do it, yeah. And then he built a studio in his house. He had a room. He had put a Trident console in his house.
Of course.
so like people like Bolan would come over and work at his house. Like it was almost like one of the first home studios.
That's sweet.
Yeah, and he had his house like is upstairs, so he would go into his first floor was his studio, and then he'd go up and his family and stuff would be upstairs.
That's cool. Yeah. But he was a capable engineer as well.
Could do it all, or, man.
Yeah, did yeah. he? Not yeah, yeah not just a not just a music guy.
Hmm. No, I think you just learn. I think it's kind of like almost like what we were talking about with Max Frost on the last episode, where he's like he kind of just realized like he had to learn all of it.
Right.
Like it yeah. was like
but like because there's obviously lots of producers that can't engineer anything.
I don't know
from that period.
From that period. I think that was kind of maybe not. No, not him. I think I don't know. I mean, they all had engineers, didn't they? But
mm-hmm.
you know, I think that like you know, what's funny about that is that like people love to say that, don't they? About Rick Rubin, they love that. It's like,
well, yeah, he likes to say it.
Like I don't know. That's just my ears, man. That's my money maker. You know, yeah. I don't know. And it's very strange. It's kind of like I was thinking of a thing the other day, like how people say, like, you know, it's amazing thing about Christopher Nolan is he just doesn't have Instagram. He doesn't have a cell phone. He doesn't. Yeah. He refuses. That's why his ideas are so good. He just doesn't live within. And the same with Ed Sheeran, I remember hearing, like, doesn't, yeah, doesn't, he doesn't, like, he just, you know, and what that actually means is that you're rich enough to not have to do anything else. You'd be like, I don't understand how Uber works. I've got a driver. I've never had to answer a phone call. I just tell people where I want to go, what
you
I want to do.
You have people that do that
human
serve the role
cell phones.
serve the role of devices
yeah,
we have
apps.
To help us. Alarm clocks, for instance.
Wake me up.
Refrigerators. Yeah. Like, just like, get some ice, keep my beer cold.
Yeah, and it's, it's kind of like, that's kind of the sort of thing that like, the difference, like things that poor people do, mm-hmm. when rich people do them, they're good. But when poor people do them, they're like lazy.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's true. I mean,
like Rick Rubin basically saying like, he's got this kind of, some kind of like weird Buddhist level kind of outside of, like he's outside of the fucking wheels of, he's in Nirvana somewhere in some kind of flow state.
It's because he got super famous in the 80s and then has always just had people to do the work for him, right?
I mean, I'm sure he's, obviously he's really good at what he does, but it's like funny to be like, you know, it's just, he's a genius. It's like no one gets afforded that kind of luxury. Like that kind of luxury is like lazy. You know, I mean, I suppose it has to come with, if it comes with, you know, mm-hmm. Like Christopher Nolan, I suppose, or Ed Sheeran or whatever, if it comes with success, then you can accredit their, as like, you know, accredit their like success to their like what otherwise would seem like quite slothy behavior, you know?
Sure. But in terms of like, yeah, it's funny because Max was saying sort of, it's interesting actually because our past two guests sort of had a different, like Max was talking about this idea of doing everything, whereas Flight, we're talking more about this idea of personnel and roles in a studio and like having it be cool to have engineers, arrangers, people that do this stuff so that you can just produce, which I think is cool as well. But I do agree with you.
A major luxury.
But I do, it's a major luxury, and I do agree with you that even so, it is helpful to, you know, to know a bit about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm trying to learn, yeah.
Because you're talking, you are a bit of a, like a translator between the artist and the engineer too sometimes, right?
Yeah, and so I think also like probably there's an element of it that's like almost like, having handles like you can fall back on. Like I know that like it's never ideal to do all those jobs, and the ideal scenario is that you like just have one of them, like you're an engineer or you're the musician, or you're the producer, or the songwriter, and that is like an ideal scenario. But you know, I don't want to go anymore into a studio and not know how to get something.
Yeah,
you know, like don't, like if I'm like the drums need tuning and they're like there's a problem, I just like I kind of like I want to know how to do that.
Exactly, it's nice to know how to do a lot of not everything, but to be able to do some things. You know,
yeah, like maybe. I think so. I think also it
like
makes
tuning
feel
a drum is good. Tuning a piano, probably we can't do that. You know?
But then Jeff in my band, he like just like he's nourished by that kind of desire, so he just like learned to do it.
Right, but he's an interesting
fellow.
He's
a special fellow.
I don't know anyone else who can tune a piano who's a musician.
I think that Trevor Spencer listening right now might be able to do it.
Well, yeah, he's more of an engineer though.
Yeah,
like he's got that one
in his studio that he's tuned up. I mean, but I think it just takes time, doesn't it?
Yeah, I just mean like every studio, most studios that I've worked in, it's like, oh, do you want that piano tuned? I'll call the guy.
Oh, yeah.
And that's cool. And that's cool to me because piano tuners need work too.
I think understanding, you know, some more complicated miking arrangements is prudent for me right now in my pursuit to continue to make a career just playing or being around music.
Yeah,
and not have to get a job at the liquor store. You know.
You have to. I know.
I don't want to get a job. In a liquor store, really, if I can avoid it.
It's a government job.
Yeah, you know? I know. It's
benefits.
Yeah, I don't know. Some form of benefits, like what, free booze?
I don't think you get free booze, or I might do it. But
I was thinking about those guys who work there just at Christmas when they need temps. You know, they need Christmas boozy. It's government in British Columbia. It's government.
My nephew Spencer sells liquor and is a great musician. He's 23 years old.
It's a very different circumstances, you know, when you're 23. And, you know, you were speaking about Spence on the last episode that, you know, like he has a young man's spirit.
He does. And to the point.